We're talking with Hayden Wines. Hayden, your course with Grupo Bimbo. Tell me about the company, first of all.
Well, so the company was founded in 1945 in Mexico and by the Ceviche family, and it started to acquire businesses really across the globe, and it entered into the U.S. market in the 2000s with the acquisition of a number of baking companies, and now we have 52 bakeries across the U.S. We're the number one bakery in the U.S., number two in Canada, and number one in Mexico. We're also in 32 countries across the globe.
And the brand names that you threw up on the screen, everybody would recognize those brand names here in the country, in this country, and around the world too.
Yeah, so the brand names that are really recognizable in the U.S. are Orwheat, Brownberry, Arnold's, S.P. Thomas English Muffins, Inneman's, Sara Lee, Mrs. Baird's, Stroman's, and such.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that you've seen, you've observed the industry as it's kind of evolved. You've obviously been in the grain marketing industry now and now the baking industry since the early 80s. It's changed a great deal.
Yeah, quite a bit. I mean, you know, one of the things that we've seen on really two sides, the grain industry has gotten a lot more efficient. And what I mean by that is now, you know, when I was first in it, you would be buying 25 car trains of wheat. Now the market's moved to 100 car trains. You know, in the past, you had a little bit more segregation because you could ship out those 25 car trains. Now with the 100 car shuttles, you've got to blow and go on this. So we've seen that evolvement on the grain side. And then on the baking side, our bakeries are becoming much more efficient, much more high speed. You know, we've gone from 70 loaves a minute to some of our more high-speed bakeries are now doing 150 loaves a minute. So efficiencies on both sides.
And you indicated that some of those efficiencies and that higher speed has really meant that you become less of a price-conscious buyer but more of a value-conscious value.
Yeah, I mean, a couple things on that. I mean, it's all has to do with the functionality in the flour. And what I mean is really on two instances. Number one, because of the high speed or efficiencies in the bakeries. Number two, really is the clean label that the consumer is demanding. So 20 years ago, we could put in additives that were acceptable to the consumers, and now they're not acceptable. So we're at higher speeds, and we can't put in the additives that we once could, and so we have to rely on the functionality of that wheat or that flour more today than ever before.
Right. You're indicating that you're a lot of times you have problems sourcing enough winter wheat in order to reach those quality standards that you're having to do a good bit of blending with spring wheat. I take it you are interested though in buying more winter wheat if you can find the right quality.
Yeah, I mean it you know makes sense to incentivize the producers, and you know again we're paying premiums. I'd rather pay it to the producers than to the railroads, because that's essentially what we're doing now. Mm-hmm. And I think the industry, because of the high speed efficiencies on the grain side and the blending, you know, I think the industry is going to have to move to more of what I call a hybrid IP system, to where we're going to look at preferred varieties of wheat, give incentives for the producers to grow those varieties from a economical standpoint, and then through the supply chain, keep those varieties or those preferred varieties segregated, so when it hits the bakery, that functionality we'll see in the lines.
You're aware, obviously, of the breeding program of Dr. Carver at Oklahoma State University. He, of course, is emphasizing that quality, that functionality of the varieties he's trying to turn out. Is that where we need to be going as an industry?
Well, I mean, I think so. You know, again, you know, we've seen wheat acres shrink to 110-year lows. You know, we have seen Russia now become the largest exporter in the world. So, you know, it's where are we going to compete? And I think you know, with our ingenuity in the U.S., I think we compete on the quality side, not the quantity side. We let Russia or Ukraine or those type of exporters sell to the price buyers, where I think the U.S. farmer should focus on the price buyers, right? On the quality buyers, who Latin America, Asia, and those type of buyers that are really focused on quality versus quantity.
You used the word toward the end, collaboration, wanting to try to get the various segments, that pipeline from the grower, from the root, well, the wheat breeder through to the end user together.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it takes a village, right? I mean, it and what I mean by that is we've got to have really all parties sit down at the table and kind of walk through the process to make sure that everybody is in agreement and that we can do this to where no one entity is going to be adverse to the proposition. So again, that takes collaboration. So it's not to where we tell the miller what we want, the miller tells the producer. I don't think that's working now. I think I think we as an industry need to do a better job of communicating to the producers what we need. And we haven't done that. And I think now we're starting to make inroads on that process. But again, it's a first step.
Right. Where are we going, as you look down the road?
Well, I mean, where I would like to see us going is, again, producing a high-quality wheat that the millers not only, or the bakers not only in the U.S., come and want to buy, but the bakers really around the globe would want to buy because of the functionality of that. That's where I think we need to go as an industry.